This is trending on TikTok, and I thought it would be interesting, and you can learn a lot real fast. It's either five or three. The three things I'd never do as a bartender.
Oh, okay.
Like your profession.
Right.
And it gives us insight as to what not to do.
Nice.
Now, we were just talking about real estate in Connecticut. Here's one from a real estate agent.
The five things I would never do after being a top real estate broker for the last 15 years. First thing is do not buy a home you can't afford. Don't do it. Two, don't design your home.
Don't do it.
That's great.
Not going to do it.
All right. It seems obvious, right. But he must see a lot of it.
He's probably got to deal with it on a monthly basis. Yep. He's like, you know, tired of saying this, so just going to put it out there for everybody.
Nice.
No, but you know what happens, and I've done this, is you figure out the monthly payment, but you don't consider all the repairs and the lawn and the this and the that and all.
The unseen.
All the other things you don't think about. House insurance.
Right.
These are the costs now, but they're going to go up at some point, too. Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Don't do it. Two, don't design your home with a theme. Look at Michael Jordan, his house in Chicago. He's got 23 everywhere. You'll never be able to sell it. No one's going to appreciate it. Three, your house is not special. Sorry. Number four,
I know
your brother-in-law, Chuck, should not be your real estate broker, which leads right into number five. Chuck is the second to last person you'd ever want to hire to sell your house. The number one person you never want to hire to sell your house is you. Yeah, look in the mirror.
That was some tough love right there.
That's great.
That was a slap, slap. Wake up.
Please share the top three things you'd never do as of with us.
Yes.
Ugh. You learn a lot. We got a bartender coming up, and boy.
Nice.
Ooh, she is.
Ooh, she changed my opinion on a couple of things.
Oh, really?
1-877-764-2535. Who's this? Roger Suzanne and Channel 3. Hey, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Yeah, when you asked me to be a part of this, I thought, boy, how much time do you have? I could give you a million things that I would never do as a reporter. So I whittled it down, though. I know you are busy men, so I whittled it down to three. And number one, it's going to seem obvious, guys, but I would never forget a change of shoes as a TV news reporter. I'll never forget. I was working in Arkansas, interviewed the governor. I was so excited as a young buck reporter, and I was wearing these shoes. And then all of a sudden, oh, Roger, you got to go out and cover a plane crash. And I had to walk through this muddy field, and the photographer I was working with looked at me because I kind of hesitated for a second, and he said, oh, do I need to carry you, princess? And after that, what are you going to do? So then I trudged through this muddy field, destroyed my shoes, and learned that day you always have to have a change of shoes with you. Number two, guys, as a TV news reporter, I would never take selfies at a crime scene. It might seem obvious, but you'd be surprised how many young and dumb reporters, and I was both of those things once, some would say I'm still one of them, but they'll snap a selfie from a crime scene, and then people will be outraged later on social media.
Yeah, the table background is so nice.
I don't think they mean anything by it.
Yeah.
But so no selfies at crime scenes. And then the other thing is just, hey, this is a little bit of a serious one, but when you work as a TV news reporter, I will never forget that not everybody loves me. And I say that because sometimes I'll go places, and 99% of people in Connecticut, they're so nice to reporters, I feel like, out in the field. They say, oh, I watch you every morning or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Every Channel 3.
And then, I get a really angry guy, and it's usually a man, occasionally a woman, I suppose, but and we had a reporter not that long ago where somebody pushed over their tripod and lunged at them, so you kind of always have to have your head. I remember one time, this
Taser.
Guy, he was so mad.
Yeah.
I was at a donut shop doing a story about a donut shop, right? Not exactly hard news here.
Yeah.
And this guy came up to me and you're fake news. You're the worst.
Relax,
that's a bummer.
Yeah.
I said, I'm really not going to politicize this donut shop, buddy. So, but, you know, you just have to realize, I think TV news reporter, you're kind of like your local congressman in that nobody likes Congress. People will say, oh, Congress stinks. But hopefully they like their local congressman. I feel like the same is true with TV news reporters. Most people, if they know who you are, they like you, but they might have this idea about this great conspiracy of whatever you're trying to do. So they might not like the media, but they'll say, oh, but Roger's okay. That's at least my take on it.
How could you not like Roger?
Seriously.
That's right.
Right.
Come on.
You're a very likable person.
Really?
And Teddy I'll never forget to put my hair product in, too. You know,
that's
you
what it is. It's only hair jealousy. That's the only way
exactly
that happens.
Right. Yeah. You're
exactly.
Hair's very jealousy.
Exactly.
Yep.
All right, Roger.
And then I was, all right. Hey, have a great morning, guys. Thanks for inviting me on.
Thank you.
Thank you. Always. All right. So three things there you never do as a TV reporter.
Right.
Never leave without a change of shoes.
Yep.
Don't do selfies at a crime scene.
Right.
And always know, not everyone loves you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I start my day in the morning.
Do we have the bartender one ready?
We do.
All right.
Five things I would never do after being a bartender for 19 years. Be very wary of where you order draft beer from. If you walk into an establishment and you see there's just crap everywhere, it just seems kind of generally dirty, and you walk into the bathrooms and it makes you want to go, they probably don't clean their beer lines. Number two, be very
wary of establishments. That's a good one.
I've gotten so sick from tap beer from places that have the lines running underneath the building, the older places, because a lot can happen, and like a lot of germs form. Yeah, I can back that one up big time.
No, that's a good one.
Yeah.
It's not all places, because a lot of people spend a lot of money cleaning their lines out.
Yeah.
That's a good one. You go into the bathroom, if it's gross,
yep,
the place looks like a mess, guess what?
Yep, bottle of beer.
Bottle beer it is.
And I want a rag to wipe the top.
They probably don't clean their beer lines. Number two, be very wary of establishments that batch their cocktails. For example, if you go to a place and they have like 25 to 30 something margaritas that they make that are all different flavors and on the rocks and blended and blah, blah, blah. Typically, those margaritas are made in a big old batch in a giant oxygen tube looking thing that rarely ever gets cleaned in the back.
Ugh.
Oh, God.
I don't like margaritas to begin with.
I do enjoy them every now and then.
Give me tequila.
Yeah.
I'm definitely guilty of this, though. Like, if you go and it's like, oh, this one's purple, this one's blue. It's like, yeah, I'll have that one.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah. No, I want straight tequila, but that is gross.
Yes.
Number three, don't put the fruit that's on the side of your glass into your actual drink. A lot of people would be like, well, Shelly, I'm drinking alcohol, and alcohol will sanitize it. No, you're drinking a vodka soda, Becky. Like, it's not going to sanitize anything.
It's interesting because she went on to say, and I don't know if it's still in this clip, but she said the bartender's hands, I mean, they're touching money. They're touching the gross bar. They're touching the register. And then they touch your lime.
Yep.
I heard that. I was like, I'm never having a lime again.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm done.
You want
now.
A lime in your beer?
Yeah.
No.
I brought my own.
You want a lime
you.
With that tequila? Okay. No, I'm good. Thank you.
I brought my own. Thank you. Appreciate that.
I was at a bar recently, and there was a whole debate. The bartender didn't want to put the lime in the customer's Corona. They had ordered the beer, and she goes, I want it with a lime. And he pulled out a thing, and he cut it in front of her, and he's like, I will squish it in here for you, but I'm not going to put the lime into your beer. And there was like a whole debate at the bar about whether she should do it or not.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Is there another one?
Yeah. Oh, there's more.
I was a bartender who obsessively washed my hands to the point where my knuckles would actually bleed, but not all of us are like that. Number four, the audacity that some of y'all still have to be an ass to the person taking your order or making your drinks or making your food. The unhinged that I have witnessed and heard about servers, bartenders doing to your food or drinks. And with the that servers and bartenders have to deal with on a daily basis, you would imagine that they get a little... Number five, don't leave your drink
on she on speed?
Seriously. Probably Coke.
Well, I learned a lot. Just listening to this.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo.
Right. How to do that, too.
Yeah. Draft beer, if the place is a dump, a no-go.
Yeah.
And never having a lime again in my Corona.
Nope. That's it. I'd imagine martini elves, too.
All right. Is that
number
it?
Number five, don't leave your drink unattended. Duh. But the number of times that I've called the cops on people who have, like, spiked a drink so subtly, like reaching over to give me cash and dropping something in someone's drink. These people are professionals, man.
That's frightening.
Like, don't mess around with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never leave my drink around. I hate bringing a drink into the bathroom, but I would rather do that than leave it on the bar.
I'll bounce in the urinal.
Yeah, it's just gross. It's a gross place for the bottle to be, but I'd rather have it with me.
At least I know I'm safe.
At least I know what's going, you know.
Yep.
Know.
Yep.
Yeah. The three things I'd never do as a fill in the blank here. Norm Pattis.
Hey, okay. Three things I'd never do as a lawyer. Talk to the police without my lawyer advice, because what you say, police just never call and say, hey, how you doing? What do you know about that event? Isn't that something? If they're calling, there's a reason. Let your lawyer do your talking. If
even I had though, a dollar for, even though yeah. it seems kind of like you're guilty if you don't want to talk to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, even though it seems that way, because, you know, no evidence is no evidence. It's easy to make a person look guilty based on a partial assertion. After all, cases can be proven on circumstantial evidence. And you know, if, for example, let's say you're walking home today and somebody next to you gets clocked on the head by a guy with a baseball bat. And you don't know anything about it, but you were on your way home from baseball practice and you had a bat in your bag. Police want to talk to you because, hey, you had a bat, you know, now where's the bat? You lost it on the run home. You were so scared you dropped the bag. Oh, did you drop the bag or did you lose the bat you hit the guy with? And why would you give up the fact that you were near the guy if you didn't do it? Somebody's going to pay for that, and you'd be giving them circumstantial evidence of presence of the crime. If you let your lawyer do your talking for you, what your lawyer says is not admissible against you. So you can get the truth out, but you shouldn't try on your own. If I had a dollar for every time a client of mine got hurt talking to the police when they shouldn't have, we'd go to breakfast at an expensive restaurant right now.
Oh, cool.
And so, yeah, I know, but I don't have that dollar, so we're not going. Second thing I wouldn't do, I wouldn't believe what I read in the newspaper about cases, and I don't. I mean, I've been in cases often where, you know, as a young lawyer, if I had a case that was in the news, I'd read the press the next day to see how I was doing, figuring that was the 13th juror. Often court reporting bears little resemblance to the legal issues in the case. Reporters are doing the best they can. They're looking for a dramatic moment or something that is readable. They rarely sit through the whole proceedings, and almost none of them have legal training sufficient to understand the issues that they're actually looking at. I'm not saying they shouldn't attend the trial. I'm not saying that the public shouldn't have an interest in what goes on in a courtroom, but don't believe what you read in the newspaper. Third, I'd never trust a judge who wants to be on TV. If I told you tonight, guys, that I had five tickets to go to the Yankees versus the Mets tonight, the first words out of your mouth would be, wow, that's great. Who's the home plate umpire? When a judge seeks to insert themselves into the middle of a case, or when a judge wants his camera hungry, and let's face it, when there's a camera in the courtroom, where is it pointed? At the bench. And they're up there, they're up there making faces, covering their face, you know, preening for the camera. This is not what we should have in a courtroom. We shouldn't have people worried about their images. We should have people striving to arrive at the truth. So the three things, as you know, don't talk to the police. I would never trust a judge that wants cameras in the courtroom. And I wouldn't believe anything. Well, that's not true. I wouldn't believe much of what I read in the newspaper about a case. It's lacking nuance and subtlety and is likely to be wrong.
So your point one was don't talk to the police without an attorney present. Let's just say you Correct. Get arrested and you don't have an attorney.
Well, then you tell them, I just talked to somebody yesterday. Hypothetically, this person may or may not be charged with murder. And hypothetically, this person may or may not be about to turn themselves in. Well, I don't know whether I'm going to be their lawyer or not, but I had them practice with me saying the following. I do not want to speak without my lawyer present. You know, the law is that unless you clearly and unequivocally assert your right to counsel, the police can kind of try to overbear your will. Hey, come on. Look, I know you got nothing to hide. Look, I'll try to help you here. Work with me on this. I'll talk to the prosecutor. I'll go to bat for you. You know, the law says the following. Police can lie to you. It's part of their job. It's an accepted law enforcement technique to use deception to get to the truth. But if you lie to the police, it's going to be held against you. It's a federal offense to lie to a law enforcement officer, a federal law enforcement officer. It's not a state offense to lie to a police officer here, but they'll hold it against you. And so, you know, why would you put yourself in a situation where one person is trained to use lies to get at the so-called truth? But if you lie, it's held to be proof of your guilt. The system is stacked against the defendants. Now, I'm not saying that we should open the jails up. I'm not saying, you know, defund the police. Let's not have bonds. Make the streets safe for violent criminals. I'm not saying that at all. I'm simply saying that people need to be smart about protecting themselves, and protecting themselves means let your lawyer do your talking.
All right. You're not in jail now, are you?
Hey, Bubba.
I read in the paper.
Give me another one of those Raymond Noodle things. The eggs here are awful. No, not at all.
Are you on today at Dune?
We resumed jury selection in the Alex Jones case today.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Norm.
Yeah, my pleasure.
All right. AJ, what are the three things you would never do as a radio personality?
As a radio personality, I think of more of a listener, but as a radio personality.
All right. As a listener.
As a listener, I would not assume that I'm walking around with tickets in my pocket, so don't ask me for tickets. There was that person, hey, someone's going to get tickets for that? I'm like, yeah, let me just pull it out of my butt right now. I'm a ticket ATM. Hang on a second. I'll get your hands ready. Here you go. Right? I would also, as a listener, don't assume that we all travel in a pack. How many times have you gone to some place? Where's so-and-so? I'm sorry. I'm not enough. You know, the appearance has me in it. You know, it didn't say you're going to be there. It doesn't say Ash is going to be there. It doesn't say Phil's going to be there. It doesn't say anybody's going to be there. Well, this is who is here.
You seem mad about this, but all right, go ahead.
I'm just saying, because, you know, after a while, you're like, all right, enough. You know, I'm not enough. And
I don't think that. I think it's quite a compliment.
Well, you know, I look at it as
that
like
they think of me and you together. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, and let's see here. I also wouldn't insult me on Facebook and then get mad when I fire back at you.
Or remove you as a friend.
Exactly. Yeah, I've gotten now to get butt hurt and all of a sudden I'm like, oh, look, I'm missing a friend over here. Mm. So I wouldn't do those things as a listener.
Okay.
Yes.
That's very good.
Thank you.
All right. Dr. McHugh is on. Hey.
Hey, how are you?
McHugh. Good,
thanks. McHugh.
McHugh.
So everything good?
Yeah.
So far.
Yeah, very good.
So I have three things as a podiatrist.
Okay.
And number one would probably be, or one of them would be shrimping.
Oh.
For those of you who don't know what shrimping is, does everybody know what shrimping is or no?
No, I don't. AJ? So
shrimping is when you're licking someone's toes.
That's correct. When you're sucking on somebody's toes. Yep. That's something that people do. They find it sensuous. But
as a doctor, it'd be kind of weird.
Yeah, as a podiatrist, I would probably say that's no good.
You would look
okay,
really...
I get it. I thought we were going to hear there's bad fungus on there. You don't want to put your mouth on there. But
yeah,
you're saying as a doctor,
it's awkward.
You wouldn't want to suck your patient's toes.
Exactly right. Right.
All right. That's very good. Because you know what? I'd feel a little awkward
if all of a sudden my
podiatrist started sucking on my toes.
I'd be like, okay, what's this
and
for?
Like, is this part of the procedure? That's an interesting way to clean my feet.
Yeah, this is how the cats do it.
Yeah, not to mention it tickles.
Okay. Well, some people have private insurance, though. So that's, you know, that's another thing.
I just got a really bad visual, you, Doc. okay, move.
So number two is stomping on grapes.
Oh.
Stomping on grapes. I've done that.
We have people at our winery always want to come and say, when can we stomp on the grapes? And there are so many things that are growing between people's toes that I don't want that to be mixed up in the wine.
Seriously. Yeah, the wine's called ew. The wine's called, this smells like feet.
Come on.
Right, exactly.
Foot flavored.
Yeah, no, we have presses and things like that now. We don't need to step on those anymore.
Yeah, Doc is a doc, but he also is part owner of Hawkridge.
Yes.
Winery in Watertown.
See that?
Are you guys stomping your own grapes there?
No, we don't.
Okay.
We don't have anybody stomp, and people want to do it. But I mean, there's things that grow between people's toes that are unidentifiable, even to a professional.
You know, we have to. That sounds like an event to me.
No,
grape stomping.
Oh, I thought.
But we won't do it on a stage.
I've done that, and the thing is, it feels like a squishing eyeballs. It's a weird feeling. It really is like almost like should I be doing this right now? Yeah.
And why did you know what shrimping is, AJ?
I've seen people write about it.
He read about it.
Yeah. I know then, things.
I know.
Yeah. So the number one thing that people should not do or as a podiatrist, and there's a reason for it, is pedicures.
Oh, really?
So pedicures are the number one cause.
Oh, you wouldn't do it.
I wouldn't do it, but
no.
I mean, my patients shouldn't do it either. Well, actually, they can go for a pedicure. Do you know what the most common cause of nail fungus in a patient from a pedicure, I mean, how they actually get it from getting a pedicure would
be. Is it the cuticles?
They don't wash the tubs out?
Nope. Tubs are okay.
Okay.
Instruments are okay.
Okay.
Huh. It's the nail polish.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow.
Because they use the same nail polish in different feet?
Exactly. The people before them have bad fungus, and they're dipping the nail, the brush in the polish and putting it on the people with fungus, and then you come in, and then they're using that same polish.
Oh, yeah. Ah. Next thing you know, the little Lamisil monsters living in there. Okay.
No, yep. Thank you.
Right.
No,
so that would happen with fingernails, too, wouldn't it? If a person has, fungy fingernails?
Nail fungus is more common in the feet. The fingernails are exposed more to the air and to the sunlight and to where it's not going to grow.
But
where fungus toenails grow where it's warm, dark, and moist, like inside a shoe.
Okay, gotcha. Because I was going to say that they use the same bottle for both fingernails and toenails. Wouldn't a person who just got their fungal feet done and then they use that same bottle in someone's hands, wouldn't they get some kind of a rash or something?
No, but your toenails are cooking inside
right.
the shoe.
Gotcha. Right.
It's brewing
right.
goo.
Brewing goo.
Yeah.
It's like a bad
pump. You know what a lot of people do now? They bring their own polish.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. That's what I recommend for the patients, to bring your own polish.
Yeah.
Well, I did not know that.
Yeah, you wouldn't use somebody else's lipstick on your own lips. I mean, it's like,
Right, your chapstick.
Yeah. Yeah, no, someone can I use chapstick? No.
No.
No, you cannot.
No. No, I'm good. I don't have any.
And if I do give you this, you're keeping it.
Yeah.
I don't want it back now. Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, those are good.
Yeah.
So those are my top three.
Nice.
Doc, thank you.
Appreciate it.
Okay.
I like how the doctor's name comes up on our phone ID there. It cuts off his name a little.
Yeah, it comes up, Dr. McEwen ass.
Yeah.
Nice.
How many times do you think I've heard that?
Yeah. Whose ass?
So I'm guessing you're a proctologist, too.
Right, exactly. That's the other doctor we have working here. His name is ass.
He's going to put your foot in his ass.
All right. Thanks, Doc.